Who doesn't know what a Vans RV aircraft is? Today, in the Aeroverse, we're going to be talking to a man who has built, or helped others to build, over 50 of these marvelous airplanes.
I'm Jeff Rowland.
And I'm Cleo Satterfield.
And in the studio today, we've got Jay Pratt, and we have some questions for him.
Jay, I want to know how you got started building all of these airplanes. And I'll tell you this, I know I want it from the Troy Welch angle.
Well, it's actually genetic.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
My father was a World War II pilot.
Yes, sir.
He came home, never owned an airplane, but he built model airplanes.
Okay.
And, of course, I was taught that. And through his interest, I developed it. And okay. I would go to Oshkosh and see airplanes, and I wanted to build an airplane real bad.
Oh,
from
wow,
going to Oshkosh.
A big model. Yeah.
Yeah, rubber band models, tissue rubber bands, you control, radio control through my father, and then learned about Oshkosh, went up there and started from the early, for my age, the early days, to go to Oshkosh and see the home builds.
That's neat. Yes.
But airplanes weren't your main career or anything. What did you do in the meantime when you grew up sort of in your 20s and 30s and on?
Yeah. I was a yacht bum. I took care of people's sailboats.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was a yacht captain or a charter captain for the moorings in the British Virgin Islands for 10 years. And later I worked on a private yacht, a motor yacht, mostly it was in the Eastern Caribbean, Guadeloupe.
Really?
St. Martin, Trinidad, Martinique.
You would guide them, sail them? I guess they're not sailed.
Well, the motor yacht was a motor yacht, and it was a private yacht for a man that lives in Dallas.
But you were the captain?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and you kept it going.
What about flying during that time?
Well, by the time I had that job, I had a Bonanza, mm-hmm. and the owner of the yacht, that particular yacht, we kept it the first 4 years in St. Martin, and I on the French side, and I brought my airplane with me, and he would call and say, "Hey, I'm coming down to use the boat, and I want to go fishing." Okay, well, I'd go pick him up at the airport, and we'd go out and fly and look for weed lines. That's where you find the fish,
yes.
Sargasso weed in the water. And we'd go out and see where the weed lines were. And then we'd come back and go to the boat and go fishing. That's one of the things. Of course, he had family and two children and his wife and stuff. And
I want you to know, right? You're not making very many friends here getting to do this. Let me tell you, I mean, we're all like, dude, how do we get to do this?
How fun.
Well,
no kids?
Yeah.
Never been married.
You're killing me, man. Actually, we've talked before. Jay lives right down the street from me, taxiway from me. But you moved back to Fort Worth. Why and when?
Well, by the time I got 49 years old, I'd been taking care of other people's yachts, and the jobs were getting harder to get, and the sun was getting harder to take.
I bet.
At my age, I haven't had any cancer problems, but I just found that it was time to do something different. And I had the airplane. I would go to Oshkosh from there I would go to Sun and Fun in Florida. Mm-hmm. But I did go to Oshkosh occasionally. And it just was time to make a change. And as a matter of fact, I went to the man that owned the power yacht. It was a Hatteras 60-foot Hatteras yacht fish.
Okay.
I went in over to his office. My MO was to come to Fort Worth and visit my mother and father, and then go back to the Caribbean. And I had the his boat and the airplane and all this. Well, he sold his boat, and I bought my own boat. It wasn't a charter boat, but it was just a 44-foot sailboat that I lived on, and I would
killing me.
Yeah, my idea of a boat is if you step off the dock onto the gunwale, if the boat moves, It's too
not,
little.
Not big enough. Yeah, I'm with
Correct.
You.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, that's other anything smaller than that, the dinghy.
Okay.
Well, I went over to visit this fella. I still know him. He's a good friend of mine still. He said, well, Jay, what are you doing? How old are you? I said, well, I'll be 50 in a few days. I would come up in September during hurricane season. Uh-huh. He said, don't you think it's time to make money? I said, John, you had me on the boat because I know how to fix the air conditioner, keep you cool, and keep the generator running. And I don't know anything about making money. But he said, well, look, I'll teach you how to develop real estate or whatever. You ought to stick around. And so he was a big influence. I ended up getting a job driving a truck.
So now,
I didn't develop real estate.
That's a come down.
Tell what happened starting in Fort Worth. You ended up moving to Fort Worth. And what were you doing in Fort Worth? Did you come straight to Hicks?
No. I was 50 years old and I moved in with my mother.
Okay.
She still had the family, 5 acres, the barn and the horses and the work.
Yeah, yeah.
And my dad had been dead for about 10 years.
Okay.
So I moved in with my mother and I immediately started building an airplane within a few months in her garage. Or
was
breezeway.
It a Vans?
Yes, it was.
Really? Okay.
There was no doubt about it. Those the little Vans airplanes, I say little, because they're 23-foot wingspan, the two-place ones.
Okay. I bet you know all the dimensions of Vans airplanes. Well, but keep going.
I know a lot about them. The kits had matured by this time. They started in 73.
Okay.
And it was more or less a materials kit.
Right. Okay.
Well, in 87, I think I bought July 15th, 1987. No, 90, 95. I'm getting this wrong.
Okay.
Dates are wrong. July 15th, 1995, I'd come back home from the Caribbean. I'd been home about 6 months, and I called Vans, and I said, I want a kit.
Okay.
And they said, well, we'll get you a tail kit right away, hook.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then we'll be 3 or 4 months before we get you the wing kit. I'm going to have the wings built in 3 months. Of course, I had no idea what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But I went to my local Dallas EA chapter,
168,
and I stood up, and at the start of the meeting, you can stand up if you want to sell something or buy something. I stood up, and I said, does anybody have a tail kit or a wing kit or a Vans aircraft kit? Two guys raised their hand. Yeah, we have Vans tail kits and wing kits. The next couple days, I went over to one of them's house.
Uh-huh.
They huddled up, said, well, you sell them yours, I'll keep mine, sell mine later or something. So I went over and got it and started. And 3 months later, I brought it home and I called Vans. I said, give me the fuselage.
Yes.
3 months.
Okay.
3 months later, I had the wings finished.
You are building it pretty quick.
Well, some people have a hard time figuring it out. But I, thanks to my father, I thought I figured it out pretty easily.
Yeah.
You were like that guy on the Flight of the Phoenix that rebuilt that whole airplane, but he'd never done nothing but models.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I'm not even German.
Really.
So the first one you built for yourself.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then I want you to transition and tell me about the first one you built for somebody else.
Well, that's the Troy Welch.
Oh, well, tell me about that.
Well, Troy, at the time, Troy had Parker County Airport.
Okay.
And I had this all planned out. Now, Troy's a horse trader, and I'd ridden in his J5, and that was my only tailwheel experience. I had the Bonanza for many years and similar performance. Bonanzas are top speed 200 miles an hour, over the fence at 75 miles an hour, stalls about mid-50s, high 50 miles an hour. And the RVs are the same.
Wow.
So I built this first RV, and I brought it back to Parker County. I had a hangar rented there from Troy. And I knew that Troy, being a horse trader, he had this other RV4 in the hangar there. It was not finished.
Not finished.
It was not finished, but it was framed up. It had the canopy. It was on the gear. It was on wheels. But it didn't have any firewall forward, no engine, no cowling, and no radios.
Okay.
Well, as soon as I got Troy in that, I called Troy, or I saw him out there. I said, Troy, come fly this airplane. I knew it was going to happen.
Come fly yours?
Yes.
Okay.
He said, you going to ride with me? I said, oh, no, it flies better without. They are better with one person.
Yeah.
I put Troy in that airplane. I showed him where the 4 or 5 switches were. Go. He came back. He opened the canopy and said, "We may need to make a deal."
So that was the beginning. I understand that was like in October, and he wondered if you could get it flying by the first of the year.
That's right.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you get some money for that?
I made a deal with him. Now, this was 95.
Yeah.
$15 an hour, and I was getting a $1,000 bonus if I finished it before the first of the year.
And you did.
And you did.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And, of course, that began this journey of people saying, "Hey, will you help me with my RV?" And then you built several others over the years, right?
Yep.
I mean, how many of you think you've built personally for yourself and then probably sold and traded or whatever?
Well, I've built 5 for myself, mm-hmm. and I have a 6th one in the hangar now. It's on the gear. It got mm-hmm. an engine on it.
Yeah.
It's almost finished. Needs a panel.
So you've done a lot. You've been building them since 95, mm-hmm. is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been building these since 95. What kind of changes have you noticed in the kits from the first one that you got and the ones you get now? I'm sure there's got to be some changes.
Oh, it's almost day and night. You know, the Paul Poberizzi that started the EA used to get, they would build airplanes out of wrecked parts, or they would just buy metal and weld it together. Yeah. And design something and cover it in cotton or whatever they had right. back then. Well, the home-built kit industry has gone from scratch-built, which was called just a piece of paper
okay.
with the plans on it.
Okay.
Well, vans started fairly primitive. It was a fairly much, when they called it a kit, it was sheets of metal.
Yeah, sheets of metal here. Maybe it might have been a couple of pieces, but
yeah.
you know, it was very, very rudimentary. You had
okay.
to make
yeah.
it all.
So, but by the time I came in 95, they'd started in 73,
okay.
they had a catalog. So you could buy almost all the parts for the airplane, the throttle cables, all sorts of things that are specialty to airplanes.
You don't just go, I want a complete aircraft sent to me. You
sure.
have to buy it. You have to order every part
well,
individually.
Back from plans to erector set. It's and back then in 95, it was kind of halfway in between erector set and plans built.
Okay.
You'd get a kit, but you still had to buy all of the hardware.
Okay.
They sent you some of the bolts and the nuts and the screws and the rivets and stuff, but you still had to get the battery and the interior, the cloth,
yes.
the,
Got it.
The padding, and make your choice.
I think Vans even supplies engines. I mean, they're vendors, right?
Now they do.
Yeah.
Back when I started, there was no firewall forward drawings.
Mm-hmm.
You had to mm-hmm. figure out where to put your solenoids,
yeah.
your starter solenoid, your battery.
Yeah.
And where to run the throttle cable through the firewall. There was no drawing for that. Now, it's not in one kit. They still have 5 kits.
Okay.
Tail kit, wing kit,
okay.
fuselage kit. Finishing kit,
okay.
which is cowling, engine mount, wheel pants, wheels and brakes, stuff
okay.
like that. And then there's a engine firewall forward kit, which has the throttle cables and the alternator, the oil cooler, all these Madrid of parts that it takes to make one go.
Yes.
And that's all in the Vans catalog now. And they have an OEM, original equipment manufacturer.
Thank you.
A deal with Lycoming,
mm-hmm.
so we get instead of paying $50,000 for a 4-cylinder Lycoming, we get them for
$35,000. Oh,
instead of
Cadillac, you just have to buy a Volkswagen.
Yeah, really.
they really
changed the home built industry. You know, Frank Christensen changed it with the Eagle kits. They were like
the first complete kit with every nut, bolt, rivet.
And even a thing with Band-Aids for when you cut yourself with the razor blade that you slit the kits open with. I'm not kidding.
Uh-huh.
And Vans went full tilt on that. You know, it was funny how we saw the plastic airplanes come into being, you know, very easies, long easies. And then when that Vans thing hit, those things, I mean, they're still out there, but that was the hot item. But this Vans thing took over the world. Do you know how many are flying today that they claim that they know about flying?
Vans?
Yes.
Over 11,700 and something.
My goodness.
Holy moly.
Now, that's the ones they've known that have been registered and flown.
Sure.
Some have been wrecked, of course,
right.
and decommissioned for the other reasons.
I don't think Vans tells how many kits they've actually supplied. I'm sure the number is ridiculous.
They can't know that.
They can't know it.
The right. reason being, they sell, you get a serial number with the tail kit.
Right.
Okay.
And a lot of people buy a tail kit. Try it. It's not for them. It doesn't go back. They don't push a button and it doesn't poof. It
takes effort, huh?
You have to actually show up.
You have to work.
build a thing. So there's no way Vance doesn't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the older ones, like when I started, the kit that I built in 1995, you could build that kit with the plans. The plans were so complete, you could build the kit from and not buy a kit. You could just buy the plans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really? Now, Vans have numbers, RV,
three,
RV,
three, four,
three, eight.
Six.
I've heard different ones like that. That first one that you built was a what?
I built an RV6.
You built an RV6. Okay.
And Troy Welch's was an RV4.
Okay. All right.
Isn't there an RV1 that somebody restored or something? I mean,
guilty.
Okay, I thought that's right. And it's like in a museum or something now.
Does that mean it was the first one?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Paul Dye, who is the editor at large of Kit Planes magazine, knew about me. He's become a friend over the years. Him and another guy found that airplane down in flat tires, abandoned almost, down there by Houston somewhere. It was an RV1, but it was a Stitz Playboy in the first place.
Converted. That's right.
Vance had
that.
Taken the struts off the wings and built new wings for it, which are very much Vance wings now, like they're built now. Mm-hmm. And we didn't rebuild it, we refurbished it up to flying condition.
All right. So let's just say, I mean, I assume that in the builder assist world, you've got these. Helped complete these airplanes from every kind of condition you can imagine. Kits handed down, sold, brand new, never touched, big parts missing. I mean, I could only imagine all the different phases of 50-something airplanes you've helped complete. But if a guy was just say, hey, man, here's my credit card. Let's order a brand new kit. Get it here. I'm going to help you. What's the time frame on building an airplane and flying it?
About 6 months. But I've done it in three. In fact, I did it. We did one airplane where the guy was there all the time. I still lived at mom's house.
Start to finish?
53 days to flight.
Wow.
RB-8A. And the nose wheel airplanes are a little bit harder.
Adds a little
more hours in there. We flew it in 53 days.
What do you think the number of hours for, you know, some guy just orders a kit? How many hours is he going to put in working on it?
Well, a one-time guy's got to figure out what to do and how to do it. So he's going to put in 2,000 or 3,000 hours. Mm-hmm. And there's a quick build kit and there's a standard build kit. And the quick build kits are sent to Philippines. I can build a quick build kit in 600 hours. Mm-hmm. And then I usually have an avionics man and a fiberglass man. So we have 1,000 man hours in it.
In the airplane.
But a guy to do it one time probably didn't do it 1,000 hours. It
probably
was 15 or 2,000.
Well, you know,
And if he's making a watch with every little part, in other words, detail, he'd spent 3,000 hours.
Sure. You know, it's going on how much detail and fit and finish. And, that's pretty much like that in anything. You know, I read a stat one time back when TV was 50 years old, whatever, in the 90s. They said, average American watches 1,500 hours of TV a year. And I thought, man, you can build an airplane in that amount of time. What a waste.
Yeah.
And I never forgot that. And that's what we did when my son was growing up on my farm. We built airplanes in the hangar and had a great old time. And we didn't watch any of that stuff. It never took any time from us. But I thought, man, that's a staggering statistic. And here you are building an airplane 1,000 to 1,500 hours. It's phenomenal.
And now look at you making TV shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my dream. Living the dream. I lived the dream, you know. And Jay did, too, doing those crew and those boats. I'm finding your story fascinating. What about the future of Vans aircraft? We've heard a few little things. They had some hiccups. Circumstances caught up with them. I mean, I think they're going to survive and be fine. What do you think?
I think that they suffered the perfect storm. They had some issues with all sorts of things in their production. But I think they'll come out smelling like a rose. The airplanes are very much in demand. The customer base is not going away.
Right.
And I think it'll be fine.
Good.
Once we get used to 30% higher prices.
Sure.
And I say we, the customer. In the meantime, it's pretty hurtful.
My
customers don't have back-ordered parts, major delays. And so we've got kits laying around that aren't getting finished because we don't have the parts right now.
Yeah.
And they're coming in, but they're trickling in.
That sounds like a common problem right now. And I believe all this will work out.
Yeah.
I tell you, Jay, I appreciate this more than you know. A lot of people benefited from your builder help. I know the dire circumstances kind of led you back to Fort Worth, but there's been a lot of people benefit from that little hardship in your life. And I know they're grateful. I tell you, anybody wants to build an RV airplane, if you got Jay to help you, I can tell you what kind of guy he is in this story that Troy Welsh told me. And I'm going to wind this up with this. He was over in Spain when I was talking to him, and I said, can we talk bad about you? And he goes, oh, sure, but let me tell you something about Jay. So Jay had this boat in the Caribbean, and I'm sure I'm getting all these details wrong, but he had this boat, and the night before he's going to hire it out and make some money, some pirates cut his anchor line, floated into rocks, and bashed it all up and just ruined that dream. And part of the reason he headed back to Fort Worth, but Jay's such a great guy, and he helped the pirates offload the stuff because they were going to get it anyway. So if you hire him to do your airplane, you're going to get a quality job whether you like it or not. That's just the kind of guy he is. That's why I wanted to interview him for Aeroverse, man. He is the epitome of a good guy in aviation, and he's built 50-something airplanes. Let me tell you, that's a pretty substantial mark. He calls up the vans, they know him.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, they do send me business.
Yeah, we appreciate you being here, Jay, and thanks very, very much for everything you've done.
My pleasure. All right. Glad to be here.
Thank you.